Now, today, of course, is we're in the middle of this Thanksgiving weekend, and I know that it's not required of me. Nobody requires except the Lord what I'm to speak on. It's not required that I speak on Thanksgiving, but I still felt led to do so. It always seems appropriate, of course, but it's a subject that is can never be overdone. I suppose it could be, but you know, I mean, the more we can be thankful and the more we are prompted to be thankful, I think is a good thing, because it's a blessing. It's something that we, of course, in the Bible, as we're going to see in a moment, we're commanded to give thanks. But just being thankful is it's a good trait, right? It's one of the most lovely characteristics a person can possess, is to have a thankful heart. And so it certainly is a grace. It's a characteristic of the believer. It's something that God commands us, and it's His will for us, is that we be thankful. And so we're going to look at this verse that probably you might already know, and it's going to be our text for the sermon. We'll consider a few other verses, but 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse number, let's just start at verse 16. There's a series of just a few things that are mentioned here in short little statements, and they are all the will of God. He says in verse 16, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, in those statements, that's not all there is to the will of God. God's will for your life, of course, entails many more things. However, these are some primary things that God says in His Word that He would have us to be and to do. And, you know, I say, in some sense, it sounds like these are things we're to do, and they are, but they're also things we are to be. We are to be rejoiceful or joyful. We are to be, and prayer, of course, is an active thing, but, you know, we're to have a spirit of prayer in which, you know, when He says to pray without ceasing, it's sort of when I became a Christian, prayer became my new habit. I think you understand what I'm saying. Before, when things would go bad, I might do any number of things. I might use some bad language. I might, get nervous. I might do a lot of things. But as soon as I became in a relationship with Christ, when things go wrong, our immediate response is to what? It's to pray. And not only when things go wrong, but at all times in our life, it should be our habit. It should be it just is something that's natural to us after we become Christians, is to be a people of prayer. And so it is with the third thing, in everything give thanks. And again, there's an active part of that. We're to give thanks, but we are also to be thankful. To give thanks without being thankful is really not very meaningful, obviously. You know, it's like when we receive some kind of gift that we don't necessarily like, you know, it wasn't what we wanted. You know, we might be forced to say, "Oh, gee, thanks," you know. But we ought to have a thankful heart. And so we're gonna consider this subject and this verse. And I know I've preached from it on a number of occasions, but I want to really kind of, you know, something I didn't like in, I don't remember what grade we were in when we learned to diagram sentences, but you remember doing that, right? The verbs and nouns and subjects, and I'll show you how bad I am. I can't even remember all the parts of speech, but yeah, objective, yeah, all those things, adjectives. But you know, when you break down a sentence, you can really kind of sort of really get the meaning of it. And when you study the Scripture, that's essentially what you're doing, is you're taking the words and considering them and really thinking about how they connect with the rest of the sentence, and the rest of the scripture and to really get the meaning. And I think when I tried to do that this week, there were things that I've discovered in here that I didn't perhaps even notice before. So let's have just a word of prayer together, and then we'll jump right into the message, okay? Our Father, we just want to take a moment to ask you to be our teacher. Lord, that you would speak to our heart, because, Father, we want to hear more than just my words. We want to hear from you. And we pray that, Lord, as we hear from you, that you would make our hearts what you want them to be. And one of those things is thankful. But Lord, in every way, have your way in our heart, we pray. And we would give you the thanks because we need it. We count it as such a blessing that you would work in our lives. And so thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're often drawn to this verse on when we think about the subject of Thanksgiving. Some of you may think, well, is this the only verse we know about Thanksgiving? Obviously not. There's many, many. But it sort of encapsulates what the Bible has to say about Thanksgiving. I find in this one little condensed verse, if we unpack it, we can see what God has for us in the area of Thanksgiving. And the first thing is that we're to be thankful, as we mentioned already. That's sort of implied when he tells us that we're to give thanks in everything. That requires that we be thankful. Another verse that we won't necessarily need to turn to, but I'll just read it for you. It's out of the book of Psalms in chapter 92. The first verse says, It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High. Now, as I said, to be thankful is something we ought to be, and that touches our relationships with others. It's a good thing to be thankful and to say thank you and to show gratitude to one another. And certainly we ought to do that. That's a pleasant thing. It's the right thing. It's a good thing. But primarily today, as we talk about this subject, I want us to just focus on the fact that we ultimately are to give thanks to God. All right? So it's to God that we are talking about when we talk about being thankful this morning. Our thanksgiving should be directed always to God. Because, you know, we know that as believers, the Bible tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. And so God is the one we direct now. Every good gift, and even gifts that are only perfect. In other words, we may not consider them good, but yet they're perfect because they are what God wants to work into our lives. And so he says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. It's appropriate. It's proper. It's in that sense it's good, in the sense that it's an appropriate thing to do. It's always acceptable. It's always the right thing to do. It's like if somebody was to come, perhaps I came to you and said, I am invited over to the Joneses' house for Thanksgiving dinner, and I was just wondering, should I perhaps bring a gift with me? You know, could I bring maybe some flowers for the table, maybe a box of cookies, just something to show my appreciation for being invited? And you would say, yeah, I think that's a good thing. Right? I think that would be appropriate. That would be a nice thing to do. And so it is a good thing in the sense that it's appropriate, it's proper, it's nice, it's lovely. It's something that is good in the sense of, it's like a few weeks ago, as a lot of you may know, most of you know this, I have one other job. I guess I could tell you I have a lot of jobs, but I have one other job that I get paid for. And that is on Thursday, our Castlegar paper comes out and I deliver them. And a few weeks ago, there was a fire in Cranbrook, some of you might recall. A building burnt, and it happened to be right next door to the press where our paper is printed. And so the truck was delayed for a long time. It showed up in the middle of the day. I usually meet it at 6:15 in the morning. But it showed up in the middle of the day, and the truck driver, he was having just one of those days. It was not a fun day. It wasn't really fun for us waiting on the paper, but I could tell when he got there, he was not having a good day. And then as he tried to unload all of these newspapers, things went from bad to worse. Sometimes the pallets, as he's bringing them off the truck, will just, they're not wrapped well, and they just spill everywhere. And we have newspapers all over the parking lot. And that happened, and lots of other things happened. And it was happened to be a hot day. And this man was sweating, and I was trying to help him out as much as I could. We finally got done, and there was another lady there. And she went to her van, and she brought out a bottle of water. And it had ice in it. And she said, this has not been opened. She said, here's a bottle of water. And I just immediately thought, man, that was a nice thing for her to do, because you could tell it was something he needed at the moment. He was dripping with sweat and everything. And, you know, to do something like that is just, it's a nice thing to do, right? It's a lovely thing to do. Well, being thankful is good because it's a lovely thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. It's good to give thanks unto the Lord. You know, the Bible goes on, and it says that, as we read here, that it's the will of God for us. It's not only a good thing to do, but to be thankful is God's will, right? Isn't that what it says? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So that says to me that not only is it a good thing to do, but it would be wrong not to be, right? In other words, if this is the will of God and we are not thankful, then we are, in fact, sinning. You say, well, Pastor Klein, that's going a little far. Is it a sin not to say thank you? Well, let me say it this way. You would be out of the will of God if you did not have a thankful heart. That's what that verse is telling us, is that if we are not have a heart of gratitude, if we do not have a continual thanksgiving to in everything unto God, then we are outside of God's will. And really, that's what it means to be in sin, is when we are living contrary to God's will. And so, you know, why is it the will of God? You know, I asked myself the question, why is that the will of God? And of course, because it's right, we could say that. That's an easy answer. It's the right thing to do. But I think it's not only, you know, right. In other words, let me put it to you this way. It's God's will for your life, not only because it will bless your life to be thankful. That part is true, isn't it? You know, to have an attitude of gratitude is only going to be a blessing to you. Isn't that true? You know, if you're complaining, if you're one of these that gripe and moan and just are always unhappy and just, you know, always discontented and maybe feeling entitled that, you know, you deserve better and all of these things, that's not a pleasant way to be, and it's not really pleasant. It's not pleasant for those around you, but it certainly is not even, you know, you'll be less happy. Isn't that true? But I don't think that that's the primary reason why it's the will of God. It's not only right in the will of God because it's good for you, it's because God deserves it. In other words, when, like, I'll give you the example in Numbers chapter 21, the children of Israel in the wilderness were complainers. They complained, they moaned, they murmured to Moses and said, Moses, why did you bring us out into this wilderness? Why did you bring us out here where, you know, there's no bread and there's no water and we're going to die out here, Moses? Why didn't you just leave us alone when we were in Egypt? Remember how the Israelites talked to Moses that way? Well, Moses was not really the one that had delivered them out of their slavery. Who was it that delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh? It was God. And so their complaint was not against only Moses, it was really a complaint against God. God, why didn't you leave us in slavery? Why didn't you leave us there in Egypt? And God sent judgment among them. There were fiery serpents that came and bit many of them, and many of them died. Why was it that, you know, that their action brought a consequence of judgment? Was it that God was just saying, you know, if you would only learn to be more thankful, it would really bless your life, and I have to teach you a lesson so that, you know, it can be better for you? That's not really what it was all about. What it was all about was that they had received so much from God. They had, God work in their behalf in miraculous ways, bringing them out of the bondage, you know, of the 10 plagues upon Egypt, the Red Sea crossing, all of those things God had done for them. And for them to receive all of that at the hand of God and return a complaining, groaning, murmuring spirit was just downright wrong. And so that's why it's the will of God, because not only is it a blessing to you to be thankful, but God is worthy of our thanks. And when we don't give it, we are not doing what is good. We are sinning against the Lord. You know, the Bible speaks of thanksgiving as a sacrifice. Let me read you a couple other verses. In Psalm 50 and verse 14, the psalmist says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." He talks about it like an offering, to offer unto God. Listen to Psalm 107, verse 22. It says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing." Hebrews, the New Testament, says this in chapter 13, verse 15. "By him, therefore," and the him there is Christ, "by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, think with me for a moment. He talks about thanksgiving is like a sacrifice we give to God. In what sense is it a sacrifice? Does it cost us anything really to be thankful? No. It's not many times when we think of a sacrifice, we think of it as a sacrifice because, you know, we are sacrificing something. We're giving. We're showing our love for God by offering something that, you know, remember what David said? When he was going to give an offering, and the guy who owned the property said, "Listen, I'll give you the wood and the sacrifice. I'll give it all to you." And David said, "No, I want to buy it. I need to pay for it." And he said this. He said, "I will not offer unto God that which doth cost me nothing." You remember that? So many times, sacrifice is something that costs us something. But in the sense of giving thanks, that really is not, it doesn't cost us anything. So it's not a sacrifice in that sense. So how is it then a sacrifice? It's a sacrifice in the way it is received. You see, God receives it as an offering. In other words, he talks about when they gave their sacrifices in the Old Testament, the Bible uses terminology like this, that it was as sweet incense in the nostrils of God. When Noah came out of the ark and he offered his offering, it tells us that it was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And did you know, whenever we are truly thankful out of our heart unto God, he receives that as a sweet-smelling savor, as a sacrifice. That's how the Lord views it. And when I thought about that, I thought, well, how wonderful that is, that we can offer unto God. We can actually give something that God would take great delight in when we give him thanks. And I don't know about you, but that when I thought about that, I thought, that just makes me want to be more thankful. Every time I give thanks is like a incense to the Lord. And I just want to give that all the time. And so it is good. It is the will of God. It is a sacrifice. Now, that brings us to the next thought. He says to be thankful. And then there's this phrase in this verse that I never really thought much upon. He says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. What is it getting at? It says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, one thing I think it kind of indicates is this, that, you know, to be thankful is not natural to us. Isn't that true? We're not naturally thankful people. That's why you have to teach the children when somebody gives them something, you nudge them and you say, what do you say? And then they know, they've learned the response. Oh, thank you. And the next time somebody hands them something, again, you're like, what do you say? Oh, thank you. And if you do that enough times, perhaps they may catch on and learn it automatically. But it doesn't come natural. We are naturally prone to complain. There's a very interesting poem that I found. It was actually, what's kind of fascinating, it was written by, this is incredible when you hear the poem, it was written by a 14-year-old. But it says this, it was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, and I never got what I wanted. Isn't that interesting? It's quite profound when you think about it. Because actually, he lived through all of those seasons and wasn't thankful for any of them. You see, that's more of the nature of mankind. We have this, but we want that. We get that, but then we want the other. And so we are often prone to complain and to be discontent. It is not our nature to be thankful, but it is in the new nature. It is in the new man. That's why he says in Christ Jesus. You see, when we are in Christ Jesus, what is that saying? That means, you know, we talk about Christ is in us. We know we talk about receive Christ into your heart, right? We use terms like that. And the Bible speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory, and other verses. But also we are in Christ. And in Christ, that means that we have been saved. We have been born again. We have received Christ. When we are in Christ, you see, that's what it means to be saved. It's not about religion, all of these rules, you know, the command, be thankful. We could give that command. We could give all the rest of the commands. But if we're not in Christ, we often don't have the power really to fulfill them. We have the command, but we're not given the will nor the desire nor the strength to do what God commands us to do. But listen to what he says. You remember this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, and in Christ, one of those new things is that he has made me a person who is a discontented, ingrateful complainer. He has renewed me to a thankful person because of the Spirit of God, because of the work of God in my life. It was not in my nature to be thankful. But when I got saved, and when you were saved, we receive a thankful heart. And so we're told to, it's a characteristic of the believer. You see, the characteristic the Bible says of an unbeliever described in Romans 1 is that they who knew God would not glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful. In 2 Timothy, it tells us the sign of the last days is that people would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. That's what characterizes the world. But it should not characterize us. Now, that brings us to the next word. It really is the first word. It's in everything. You see, the new nature and the heart of thanksgiving God creates in us is the ability to give thanks in everything. In everything. Turn just for a moment. I want to hold your finger there because we want to keep looking at that. But in Ephesians, not very far, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It tells us about the command and the ability by God's grace to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And then in the next following verses, he describes what happens to somebody who are filled with the Spirit. It's not that they speak with tongues or do other kind of bizarre things, but they have a... Remember back in Thessalonians, we talked about rejoice evermore, pray always, be thankful. That's kind of the fruit of the Spirit, is that joyfulness, the prayerfulness, the thankfulness. Because he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That describes a joy. There's a song in my heart. There's a joy in my soul. When I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the more I'm filled with the Spirit, that just simply means the more I yield. You know, we have the Holy Spirit when we get saved. We have all of Him, but He doesn't have all of us. And the more we yield ourselves to Him, the more joyful we become. We just get this song in our heart, this spring in our step, this joy on our face, because you know, the Lord is at work in our life and we have His presence so noticeably near to us. But then verse 20, giving thanks, and then this word, always, for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, it's a work of the Spirit of God, is that when we are filled with the Spirit, we will give thanks in all things, always for all things. In everything, we will be able to give thanks. And again, let me just say it again, we give thanks unto God. Someone said one time, and I think they meant it kind of jokingly, or you know, as to be funny, but it's sadly true. He said, "I feel really sorry for atheists on Thanksgiving. They have so much to be thankful for and nobody to thank." And you think about that. If we don't know God, then who are we thankful? You know, who do we thank? Sometimes we thank ourselves that we're so lucky or whatever. But no, we know we are to thank God. Well, in everything. So the Spirit of God helps us to not only be thankful when things are going well, when the sun is shining, when our health is vibrant, where, you know, all things are pleasant. Anybody can do that. I put down this statement. Listen to this statement. If you are a believer and you are only thankful in pleasant circumstances, then your thanksgiving is meaningless. Why do I say that? Because anybody can be thankful when things are well. All people can do that. The lost can do that. The false religions can do that. I mean, when everything's sunny, when you get your way, you have everything you want, anybody can be thankful then. But those that are Christ have learned to be thankful in all things. In everything, we can give thanks. And that's when it really means something. When we really are able to go through a situation that is difficult, a situation that's not to our liking, it's not what we have chosen. But God has brought us there for whatever reason, and even in that position, in that circumstance, we can still have a thankful heart. You see, that's when it really becomes meaningful. When we can say to God, Lord, I don't understand why, but I know that I can trust you, that I can be thankful. I have later in my notes, but I think I'll use it right now. There's a song. There was a songwriter in the 1800s named William Cowper. You see some of his songs in our hymn book. But he wrote the song and the poem, God Moves in Mysterious Ways His Wonders to Perform. And in that song, he said this, in that hymn, he said these words, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. You see, sometimes the providence of God brings us into places that are not easy, places we would rather not be. But he said, don't judge the Lord on by our vantage point, our feeble sense. Know that wherever his hand guides, he is there to lead us through. And it hides his smiling face. He has plans. He has ways. He can work all things together for the good of those who love Christ. And so for that reason, we can in everything give thanks. I talked about this on Thursday night quite a bit, so I don't want to go over it too much for those that were here. They'll want to just tune me out because they say, we heard this. But, you know, God's providence is simply that God is governing. God is working. God is, his hand is sometimes, it's many times his unseen hand, but it's still him at work in our lives. And so we can trust him. When you think about God's providence, that's why I have a hard time. I really struggle ever saying to people, good luck. Because I just don't feel like, I feel like I should say good luck, but it's hard for me to spit that out. I have to come up with some, I just say God's will be done, or, God bless you, or, Godspeed, or something along that line, because I know that it's not chance and so on that happens in our life. God brings us into circumstances. God allows things in our life. God is at work in every circumstance, in every situation. I have a heavenly Father, and he watches over me. And he will not suffer me to be tempted above that which I am able. He will provide a way of escape. And so, because of that reason and many other reasons, in everything, I can give thanks. We have eternal reasons to be thankful. We have things that are unchanging. Circumstance change, but my salvation never changes. Sometimes we have testimonies on Sunday night, and many people do this. They say, whenever you say, a testimony means, does somebody want to share something that God has done in your life? Give thanks for something. And so many Christians start off with this phrase, first of all, I'm thankful for my salvation. And, some people say, is that all? It seems like that's what they say all the time. They always say that. I'm thankful for my salvation. Well, it's because we're always thankful for our salvation. Because whatever comes in life, I could go home today and find my house burned to the ground and everything in it lost. God forbid, but, that could happen. If that were to happen, I'm still saved. I still have a home in heaven. And one day I'll be with the Lord. I could get the news in this week that I have that dreadful word cancer. And, it could be a terminal cancer. It could be all of those things. But the fact remains, I'm still on my way to heaven. Christ is my Savior, and I will one day dwell with him. And that day may be sooner than I thought, but I'm going there. You see, we have something that's to be thankful for, that it doesn't matter what circumstances are. In everything, the same thing is true. I have been born again, and I have a home waiting me in heaven. And whatever comes, that'll never change. We can be thankful. And so we have many eternal things that never change. God says, look with me at Hebrews. It's not very far. Just go forward a little bit to Hebrews chapter 13. I printed it in my notes. I could read it for you, but it'd be better if you see it with your own eyes. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13:5 says this: let your conversation — and that word doesn't mean your speech, it really is talking about your life — let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Boy, that you could stop there for a second. You know what covetousness is, right? Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's ox or horse or wife or house or anything. That means, you know, desiring something that is not yours, desiring something God does not intend you to have. He says, let your life be without covetousness. How do we do that? Be content with what God has given you. You know, that, like, it's that old saying, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Some preacher said, the grass is always greener over the septic tank. You know, we always long for something else. But he says, don't do that. Be content with such things as you have. Because how can we do that? Well, the next phrase gives it to you. Because it says this: as ye have such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, here's the thing, friends. If you have Christ, you have everything. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If the Lord's in my boat, I'll get to the other side. If Christ is with me, I don't need anything else. That's all we need. And we can be content. We can be thankful. We can be grateful because I'm always saved. Christ has saved me eternally, and he's going to take me to heaven. And in the meantime, he will never leave me nor forsake me. And so regardless of circumstances, we can give thanks in all things. And that's what the Spirit of God teaches us. And that's what he does for us in our life. We can trust him. We can be thankful because of his presence, because of his providence. I'm going to close with just an illustration. In your songbook, I mentioned William Cowper. There's another name that you see often. It's the name Fanny Crosby. Some of you may know the story of Fanny Crosby. She was born a healthy child, but at 6 weeks old, she got an eye infection. And some nurse accidentally made a mistake, put the wrong medicine in her eyes and blinded her. And from 6 weeks of age, she was blinded for the rest of her life. Couldn't see anything. But Fanny Crosby, she could have lived bitter. She could have complained. She could have said, why me? Why did that happen? But instead, she loved the Lord, and she wrote over 8,000 hymns. Some of them are these: All the Way My Savior Leads Me, Be Thou Exalted, Blessed Assurance, He Hideth My Soul, I Am Thine, O Lord, My Savior First of All, Near the Cross, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Praise Him, Praise Him, Rescue the Perishing, Savior More Than Life to Me, Take the World But Give Me Jesus, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, To God Be the Glory. Those are just a few. And every week, millions of Christians around the world are blessed by singing those hymns from a heart of somebody who was thankful, even though at 6 weeks old they were blind and never saw the light again. But in that song she wrote, My Savior First of All, She said, you know, in the song, I'd read it to you if I could find the page. She said, the first thing I see when I get to heaven, and what I want to see most of all, is my Savior's face. And she realized that I can't see anything here, but the first thing I'll see is the face of Jesus. You see, my friends, in everything, we can give thanks. And so, I pray that as we celebrate Thanksgiving this year, it's a good time to just stir up a heart of thanks, count our blessings, see what the Lord has done. But it certainly is not that we just are thankful this time of year. We're to give thanks always, at all seasons, and in all circumstances. And in Christ, we can do that. Let's stand together and we'll pray.